It's very, very exciting to jump into the second parak, all of which is really an elaboration on the end of the first parak. Mishnah Tezvav Amud Beis lists the Chamisha Tamen, Chamisha Mu'adim. Chamisha Tamen are Keren and its four Toldos, which we dealt with at the beginning of the Masechta. The Chamisha Mu'adim, the Shein, the Regel, Shor HaMu'ad, there's Keren, which is Mu'ad, Keren, Bershus HaNizak, and Adam. Let's try that again. Is everyone calm? Everyone have their seats. Okay. Deep breath. We're going to dive into the second parak from the very end. All of the second parak, as we were saying before, is the entire second parak is an elaboration on a single mission at the end of the first parak. Chamisha Tamen, Chamisha Mu'adin. Chamisha Tamen are Keren and her four toldos. Chamisha Mu'adin are Shane, Regel. Two cases where Keren pays Nezek Shalim. Keren Mu'ad and Keren Bershus HaNizak. And finally, Adam. And we'll dive into the sugyas of Adam, the sugyas that surround the last mission in the parak, Chavav Amud Aleph to Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and that will hopefully bring us as well in time to earlier sugyas. Now, but the Mishnah of Adam, there are two main Mishnayos of Adam. We have two main Mishnayos of Adam. The last Mishnah in the second parak, which is our official address, and the first Mishnah in the eighth parak. Maybe let's start from there and work our way back. Right? The first Mishnah in the eighth parak, Parak HaChovel, the last four prakim are basically about different... the last four prakim of Masechta are about sort of expanded ideas of Adam HaMazik. While here, at the end of the second parak, we already have the sugya of Adam HaMazik. The last four prakim are expanded ideas of Adam HaMazik. Geneva, Gezela, and Chavala. So Geneva and Gezela is where I didn't necessarily ruin the item, but I took it from you. That's not exactly like Adam HaMazik, but similar. I am causing you a loss, and I'm the one who's doing it myself. Then we have Chavala. So what's Chavala? So the Mishnah tells us, Pegilim Beis, Chovo Bachavero. If I attack you. I attack you, your person. I have to pay five. There are five different bills that I have to pay. Nezek, Tsar, Ripoy, Sheves, and Boshes. First Mishnah, Parak HaChovel. Pay Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah goes on to explain what are these five things. Nezek, Tsar, Ripoy, Sheves, and Boshes. Some of them are self-explanatory. Ripoy is going to be medical expenses. Boshes is figuring out what I pay for having embarrassed you. The Tsar is the pain that it caused you. Sheves is the loss of work. You're out of work until while you were recuperating. The Nezek is the permanent, if there was any permanent damage done. Two people get into a fist fight. And they leave bruised and bleeding, but no permanent damage. There's no nezek. They'll be tsar. They'll be boshes. They have to heal. If they can't go back to work the next day, they'll be sheves. If they need medical attention, which they likely will, there's ripoy. But if a couple weeks from now they'll be back to full functionality, there's no nezek. Nezek is when there's permanent damage done. Rachamal etzlan, a fight that was even worse. And limbs are permanently disfigured or knocked off. Shalom Eda. Right, and when it's all done, the fellow will, for the rest of his life, not have the functionality he once had. Now, a motor vehicle accident. Rachman al-Tzlan. A car or truck drives into a person. Sometimes it's only temporary damage, sometimes it's permanent damage. The doctor says his arm is never going to work the same again. His leg is never going to work the same again. So that's nezek. If it's permanent damage, I have to figure out how do you somehow put a dollar amount on that. I used to have full use of my limbs, and now I no longer have full use of all of my limbs. So the Mishnah says you look at the way we assess value of items in general. It's a Mishnah in Erechin that you look at kamu shava limkar bashok. You look at an item to evaluate an item, you look at market value. So there used to be a market for human beings' functionality. So now we live in a country that no longer has slavery. But when there was a slave market, you could buy a person's work for a lifetime. Essentially, that's what you're monetizing. So kamu shavar limkar bashok, before he had the use of all of his arms and legs and all of his faculties and so on and so forth, and now he's in some way or another permanently disabled, permanently impaired. So let's see how much would he have been, what was his market value beforehand, what's his market value afterwards, and that's nezek. That's nezek. That's nezek. And offhand, nezek is the least chiddush. Why is nezek, just thinking things through, why is nezek the smallest chiddush here? Or let's put it differently. In what way is nezek different than the other four?
It's the most direct. It's the direct damage.
Ah, right. Nezek is not a chiddush by chovel. If I'm an adam amazek, usually it's used to term adam amazek, as in the second paragraph, usually we're talking about a person who was mazek chafotzim. I damaged property. I sent a baseball flying through your window. I slashed your tires. I bent your bike. I took your phone and I threw it into the water. Whatever it is, a person was mazik property. Adam da azik shor. A person is mazik property. That's adam mazik, as opposed to a chovel, which is a person who injures another person's body. You're right. Adam mazik pays nezek, or for that matter, mamon hamazik, you pay nezek. My dog chewed up your potatoes. Dog chewed on your potatoes. Maybe that'd be Karen. Right? But all the cases of Karen and Shane and Regal and Aish and Bar, it's always essentially nezek. And there was an item that was destroyed, so I have to pay the full original value of it, or the item was depreciated. The item is still there, but it's not worth as much as it used to be. So we have to figure out what's the difference between prior market value and present market value, and you pay the difference. That's the way it's always been with Tashlumei Nezek. Kamahaya Shava and Kamahu Shava. How much was it worth? How much is it worth? Well, one of the Gemaras we skipped in the first paragraph talks about when you're looking at real estate, you have to figure out how large a piece of real estate you look at. Because if you just look at the area where the damage was done, it's going to be more of a difference. I'm looking at many acres. Okay. But those are details in terms of how you assess it. But Nezikin up until this point has always been Nezek. What's the change in the value, the depreciation that you caused to my property? Or by Chovel that you caused to my body? You ruined my body in some way. The Nechba says to the Chovel, so you owe me Nezek. The Chiddush by Chovel is not only do you have to pay Nezek, that we would have expected, you even have to pay the other Dalad Dvarim. These are called the Chamisha Dvarim. You have Nezek and the other four. If Mishnah says the Chamisha Dvarim, our Gemara refers to the Dalad Dvarim. Tzah, Ripui, Sheves, Boshes, the non-Nezek items, those are, you don't typically pay that by some other case. But Adam Amazik, if I, if Reuven bends the frame on Shimon's bike, Shimon normally bikes to work. Reuven slashes Shimon's tires. Shimon normally drives to work. Shimon comes out in the morning, ready to get in the car and drive to work, and there are no tires left. It's flat pancakes. Someone let out the air. Someone slashed the tires. So you were mazing my tires, that's a couple hundred bucks. You also caused me to miss work, because I came out ready to drive and arrive on time, and now it's going to be a couple of hours before I get, either I have to take in public transport, I wasn't expecting the time it would take to use public transportation, or I'm going to have to get the tires repaired first. So you caused me a loss of work. It could be that the amount of money I lost by not going to the office today is more than the cost of the tires. Even if it's not, two separate things. The cost of the tires, that's Nezek, there's also the Sheves. But you don't pay Sheves by Adon Mazik. You don't pay Sheves by Mamon Hamazik. That's a unique Sheves, Ripui, Tsar, Boshes. Those are unique to Chovel. Because that's Chovel, Chayv Chemisha Dvarim, versus Adam Hamazik. And with that in mind, let's come back to our Mishnah. Adam Mur Liolam, Chavav Amar Aleph, Adam Mur Liolam, Ben Shogig, Ben Mezid, Ben Er, Ben Yashin. Adam Hamazik, again, the fifth of the five Mu'adim in the Mishnah Tetzvav and Beis, into the first parak. Adam Hamazik is Mu'ad Yipen Neshavim Liolam. All situations. Shein and Regal, there was a limitation. Each one had a limitation. Adam Mu'ad, Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid, whether you meant to do the Hezek, you didn't realize what you were doing. Bein Er, Bein Yashin, whether you're awake or asleep. On the side they tell you, perhaps we'll come back to this. Masoros HaShas points out, Sanhedrin is Bein Ba'ones, Bein Baratzon. Whether it was willingly or unwillingly. We'll come back to that, but that is a debate amongst the Rishonim. What's the status of Adam Hamazik Ba'ones? So to some extent you're Chai Ba'ones, but to what extent is the subject of a big debate between Tosfos and the Ramban, and maybe the Rambam right in the middle, about the status, how far do you go with this idea of being Chayiv even Ba'onas? But clearly, more so than by other Mazikim. Then the Mishnah says, Simei es ein chaveiro v'shiber es hakelim, Rachman l'tzlan, Reuven blinds Shimon, they get into a fight, and Reuven punches Shimon in the eye, and didn't just give him a black eye. He permanently damaged his eyeball, and Shimon is no longer able to see. So Reuven blinded Shimon, or Shibir es HaKelim, or Reuven smashed Shimon's bike. Meshalim Nezek Shalim. You have to pay Nezek Shalim. You have to pay Nezek Shalim. So what's the Mishnah trying to say? The second half. So Rashi already tells us what? What does Rashi and the Mishnah say? I feel B'shogeg. Rashi says, well, even B'shogeg. Now, the end of the Mishnah is pretty striking, without even asking fancy kashas. The end of the Mishnah is striking. We just told you other mazik is chayiv, even b'shogeg. Perhaps we said even ba'onas, certainly when you're sleeping, at least some degree of onas. L'chora. First parak notwithstanding. So what's the second half of the Mishnah telling me? That you're chayiv if you blind someone. You're chayiv if you break kelim. Of course you're chayiv if you break kelim. Well, we told you, other mazik is chayiv. So what's the answer? Well, Rashi says, well, I'll tell you, even b'shogeg. That's also surprising, because we just said that. The Reish, the Mishnah, just said, Adam Mazik is chayiv, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. Maybe now you're giving me examples. So what's added by the examples? What would I not have known otherwise? What added chiddush is a sefer offering us, is a sefer providing that I would not have known from the Reish? Moreover, something else that might strike you is Simei es ein chaveiro. Reuven blinded Shimon's eye. Rachman Tzlan. What would you say is it did in that case? That's Chovel. So no, it's interesting that our Mishnah is like putting together Chovel and Mazik. Simei es ein chaveiro and Shibur es hakelim. Shibur es hakelim obviously adam to be Mazik mamo, not be Mazik your body. And so it's interesting that we're like making a, so to speak, a hekesh between the two. Number two, you wonder, it's not true that you're Meshalim Nezek Shalim. You pay a lot more than Nezek Shalim. You pay everything. Chamisha Dvarim. Why just Nezek? Simei Sein Chaver is going to be Nezek Shalim plus Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes, all of which will be very, very significant. So what's going on? Who asked this question? The Gemara asked this question. The Gemara didn't ask it as a kasha, but it's clear that's what the Gemara is driving at. But the Gemara says, "Katani simes ein chaveiro dumi the shibra sakelim." We're setting up. We present the case of blinding of chavala in our Mishnah in parallel to mazik. We put chovel next to mazik. We present mesame ein chaveiro as somehow being equivalent to mishaber sakelim. And the Gemara essentially is asking, "Well, why?" But they're not. And what's the point? And what's the chiddush? And keeping in mind where Rashi had said, well, I feel b'shogeg, but that also bothered us, because after all, we already know that you're chayav b'shogeg. Well, that's what the Gemara is troubled by. So what's with this sefer of the Mishnah? It's funny. So we're supposed to make this? The Gemara says, no. It's, so to speak, a hekesh. Hekesh is a psukim. But the Mishnah has put these two together to tell me that they have this parallel dinim. Mahasam nezekin abad varmlo. Afsimis ein chadero nezekin abad varmlo. Same thing. Just like Mishaber Sakelim is only nezek and not arbad varim. Why not? How do I know that Mishaber Sakelim is only nezek? Because Baza Amazik, you never have Dal Dvarim. Dal Dvarim is a Kiddush only by Chovel. Like, once again, Chovel is a person who damages another person's body. Mazik is a person who damages another person's property. Simeis Ein Chavero is an example of Chovel. Shiber Sakelim is an example of Mazik. As we said before, the notion of Dal Dvarim, Tsar, Ripoy, Shevas, Boshes, was only Nischarish in the Psukim, some of which you saw, the Psukim Mishpatim. Only nischadish by chovel. Mazik does not never pays dal dvarim. You only pay, mazik only pays nezek. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, that's the point of our Mishnah. Just like shibiras hakelim, you only pay nezek, not the dal dvarim, not tsar, ripoy, sheva, zebosha, because you never pay mazik, adma mazik never pays tsar, ripoy, sheva, zebosha. So too, afsimis ein chadeiro, nezekin abar dvarim lo. So too, if Reuven is chovel shimon, he actually attacks his body and blinds him, and again, blinding is a case where there is nezek, so there's permanent damage done, it didn't just hurt you, permanent damage, you pay that, but not the Dal Dvarim. Now you say, what do you mean? Well, what's the Gemara trying to say? But the Mishnah in Hachovel told me you do pay Chamisha Dvarim. The Psukim in Chumash say, Rakshiv to yitain, v'rapo yirapay. Kivya k'tachas kivya teaches me tzar. And you have Psukim later in Chumash teaching me boshas. What do you do pay Dal Dvarim. So what's the Gemara trying to say? Simas ein chaver, you only pay nezek. Why?
B'shogeg.
Now that Rashi, now you understand what that Rashi was doing. Yes, there's a mission in Parakah Chovel that tells me, in principle, Chovel b'chaver pays chamisha dvarim. But understand that chiddush is limited to mezid. Yeah, if two guys get into a bar fight and they're trying to hurt each other, so then you're gonna have to pay chamisha dvarim. You're fully liable for all those five dimensions of your impact, your negative impact on the other person's body. But if it was b'shogeg, I wasn't watching where I was going, I backed into someone, and I knocked him over, and I caused real damage, so you pay nezek, but not arba dvarim. That's what Rashi says. Kalim arba dvarim lo dulo shaychi behu. They're not relevant. In other words, you never have dal dvarim by mazik. Afsimus ein chadero b'shogeg. If you were chovel, but it was b'shogeg, the nezek in abad varim lo, says Rashi, baram chavavam and olive, de lo mechayvi abad varim, ela o mezid, o karv le mezid. You're only chayv abad varim if you are a mezid, or close to mezid. Let's hold on to that Rashi for now. It's an intriguing Rashi. And one of the things we're going to be looking at again and again over the upcoming Amud or two is different levels of intentionality. It came up in yesterday's shir on Tefillah, Mezid Shogeg Mesasig. We're going to be really diving into those issues with Rabbi Kiveger and the Chavos Das and the Makar Chaim and so forth, Rif Hashem, as we go forward. As an aside, I flipped them yesterday. I flipped the approach to Mesasig, but that was my mistake. We'll get back to it. Okay, so now we understand, so now we have basic appreciation of the Mishnah, of the first couple lines of the Gemara, just reading it with open eyes, nothing fancy, just reading it with open eyes, so now we understand the nuances of what's going on in the Mishnah, at least once over. So there's a din of Chovel, there's a din of Mazik, and Mazik is Chayiv even B'shogeg, Chovel is Chayiv B'shogeg only on Nezek. But the Arba Dvar, the other Arba Dvarim, it can't be b'shogeg, it needs to be mezid or at least close to mezid. And as we go further, towards the end of the sugya, we'll see that maybe boshes has an even higher level of intentionality necessary in order to be chayav. Okay, so that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah Pei Gimel is about chovel and mezid. Our Mishnah is talking about mazik and chovel b'shogeg. Mazik and chovel b'shogeg are chayav and nezek. But Mazik is always chayv nezek. Peshogeg mezid. Chovel peshogeg is chayv nezek, but not on the other items. A couple of questions. Gansh.
So I understand the Rashi on the Gemara makes sense now instead of peshogeg, but still doesn't make sense why he says do peshogeg in the Mishnah. It's still obvious that there's no chiddush in the
context. Where did we say afilu peshogeg in the Mishnah?
Rashi said.
Oh, he was explaining. Good question. He was explaining. He's saying us up to appreciate that the sefer wasn't clear what the case is. We said the Farish Mishnah says Yochai ben Shovim Mezid, all cases, not favoring one over the other. Then we have a sefer where we can list two cases, Simei and Shiver. So under what circumstances? So Rashi tells us you should know that the sefer is talking specifically about Shovim. It was amazing, it wouldn't be true. Oh, afilu b'shogeg. You mean why the afilu? Why the afilu? That's interesting. It's a funny afilu. I'm not sure. Gansh is asking a very good kasha, but we should all appreciate Gansh's kasha. In other words, it's not afilu, it's only b'shogeg. It would be amazing that it would. I mean, it would be. It's the Mishnah is literally treating the Mezid. It is true that you are Chayav Nezek Shalom. The implication of the Mishnah is that you're Chayav only Nezek Shalom. The implication only true Bishogeg. And the implication is only Nezek Shalom, and the implication that we're drawing a power equation between Chovel and Mazik, those two diukim are only true Bishogeg. But the base din that we said, that you are chayiv to pay nezek, we're saying even b'shogeg you have to pay nezek, which is a chiddush for both. Right? In other words, which what we said before, which the chiddush of the missionary told us in the Risha, you should know adam ha-mazik b'shogeg is chayiv. And you should know that adam ha-chovel is chayiv, at least nezek. But you're right, there are different ways you can, and it is a curious Rashi, you know, maybe we'll come back to that afilu as we proceed to the Gemara's next question. Yeah, question.
So when the Mishnah is funny, I don't know where Rashi gets, like where Rashi comes up with Shogeg, because the Mishnah, like you mentioned before, the Mishnah reads Bein Shogeg Bein Mezid. So when it says a case, you would assume that, like naturally, that you assume that the Seifa is talking about the same pretext of both Shogeg and Mezid, which is why maybe Rashi softened the blow by saying, oh, it's not Filo, it could be either way. But That doesn't really make sense, because according to what we just said, it would only be
Shogeg.
Right, so where does Rashi get what
he's saying? That's the question we're talking about. Why it's Lechor not Afilu, whole point of our Gemara, first of all, the Gemara that the Sefer is only talking about the Shogeg.
That doesn't make so much sense, because it says Bein Meshogeg in the beginning of the Mishnah, it says Bein Meshogeg Bein Mezid. So you would assume it would be either in the Sefer also.
So to that I would also, so you're saying it's important for Rashi to, you're saying that's why it's important for Rashi to point out that now we're focusing on Shogeg. Otherwise I might not have realized we have a focus.
I think Rashi recognizes the problem with that. He's saying he's limiting it to the Shogeg, but the Mishnah doesn't limit it to the
Shogeg.
It says Bein Shogeg
Bein Mezid. The ratio was Bein Shogeg Bein Mezid. The Seifa doesn't specify.
Yeah, but Rashi's not telling us things up. He's getting it from the Mishnah. Rashi's not just. How does Rashi know?
Well, the Gemara makes it clear. No, the chiddush of the Risha is b'shogeg. The Mezid is not the chiddush, right? The Risha could have said afilu b'shogeg. And the Risha could have said adam mu liolam afilu b'shogeg. So, but now Rashi didn't say bein Mezid bein b'shogeg. But now we're trying to focus specifically on what was in truth the chiddush of the Risha also, which is shogeg. Yom. The point of Nesek is you're going to find out how much he's worth. Yeah, that's an intriguing Rashi. Rashi, begin Lachova, a difficult Rashi. I don't think that's called the halacha. Rashi seems to say that you're looking at him the value as an Eved Ivri. He actually could have sold himself as an Eved Ivri. He could still sell himself as an Eved Ivri. And what is the difference in... You have an asset at your disposal. I could sell myself if need be to raise liquid cash. And now I can only sell myself as an Eved Ivri for X, whereas in the past I could have sold myself for 2X or 3X. Yeah, so that's it is an intriguing Rashi, and we're going to come back to that perhaps also, but not usually assumed to be the case. Usually assumed it means Kamo Shavu as an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is for a lifetime. So Eved Kanani, in a sense, is a better way of trying to somehow translate the untranslatable, to translate into dollars and cents, a lifetime of lost ability. Right? A lifetime from this point on without an arm. A lifetime without a leg. A lifetime without an eye. So Eved Kanani captures the lifetime, which Eved Ivri does not. Now, on the other hand, Eved Ivri, as Rashi points out, is very practical. Shimon could have sold himself as an Eved Ivri. He still could, but he'll raise less funds than he would have in the past.
So,
Okay. But then you have to figure out all of those.
Yes,
so
right. So, Eved Kanani, and then there's the time value of money, and then there's any actuary will tell you, obviously, that things are decreasing over time, different risks increase over time. It's very hard to project that forward. So, the economics of the market will take care of all of that if you have a single sale for life. Yeah.
I'm just a little confused in the sense, right? The Mishnah says, right, that Bein Bishogi, Bein Mezi, Bein Er, the whole deal that he's still, you know, chayv to pay Nezek Shalim, but that we tried resolving the kasha that we had by saying that it only applies to Bishogi.
Correct.
So how does that work? It would also be, the Mezi also, he should be chayv Nezek Shalim. We wanted to answer by saying, oh, it's fine that, you know, because it's shogig, that's why. But didn't we just say before that's also a case of mezi? It's also the same.
Correct. So I think you're coming at the similar question to what Gamshor and Redder asked, which maybe not as focused on the Rashi. Rashi, the Gemara says talking specifically about shogig. Rashi Mishnah says a filu b'shogig. The truth is, Rabbi Osai, maybe there's a better answer to your question. Your plural question, which is this might be the fact that if you compare those Rashis, Rashi and Mishnah said that the Sefer is talking a field of Bishogig, while the Gemara says specifically Bishogig, it could be this is an example of a common phenomenon in Rashi, Pirush Rashi, and Gemara, which is that when he says the Pirush on the Mishnah, many point out that his parish on the Mishnah typically accords with the Gemara's Havamina. Unlike when you learn Mishnayos with Kahati, who will explain Mishnayos Kafi Maskanas on Gemara, Rashi on the Mishnah will typically explain the Mishnah Kafi the Gemara's Havamina. And we understand why. Because he didn't write his parish on Mishnayos to be a standalone parish on Mishnayos. It was written to be a parish on learning the Mishnah together with the Gemara. So he's setting you up, in, as you learn the Mishnah, to see it as the Gemara initially looks at it, and then you'll follow how the Gemara goes back and forth, how the Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah evolves over the course of the Shaka V'Targum. So it may be the answer to your question is that maybe in the Hanami you're absolutely right. Maybe you're absolutely right that Rashi, when he said that Afilu B'Shogeg, is reading the Sefer the way the Reisha does. Again, the Reisha talking about both Shogeg and Mezid. The Chiddush is your Chayiv, the Chiddush, the Reisha, of course, your Chayiv even B'Shogeg. As you said before, the Reisha could have said, the Mishnah could have said, Adam Mu'ad Li'ola Afilu B'Shogeg. The Talmud chose not. It chose instead to say, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein Mezid. That's what he's trying to say, more or less, is Afilu B'Shogeg. So it could be that Rashi on the Mishnah is explaining the Sefer Kefi the Gemara's Hafmina. What's the Gemara's Hafmina? What's happening is that the Sefer is just a continuation of the Reisha, which is, well, no, what's going on? It's not true that Sime and Sheber are the same. The Gemara's answer is to say the answer is that the Sefer is talking, while the Reisha was talking about both Shogeg and Mezid, The Seifa, once it brings Chovel in, now we're talking only about Shavi. Because Mezid, the Mishnah, the Shchol of Mezid is the Mishnah of Daf Pei Gimel. That you're Chai Chamisha Dror, not just Nezid. And that's marked, I like your heart. So that's marked by the one word in Rashi. In the Mishnah Rashi said, Afilu B'Shogig, and the Gemara just says, B'Shogig, no Afilu, because that's exactly what changed. If Gemara's teretz was, it must be the same to talking about only Shogeg. Which, again, happens all the time. Mishnah may talk about something in general, then dive into one specific subset. That's what happened. First we said, Adam Mazir, Chai Ben Shogeg, Mazir, and now let's talk about Shogeg. The same for Shogeg. Question.
Yeah, so I think the whole institution of evaluating Nezeg via assessing how much someone is worth on the marketplace seems like a terrible metric to assess the loss that the person suffered. Meaning, it doesn't show on the slave market the fact that I'm missing my arm and therefore I can't hold my baby son anymore, which is definitely something that is a loss to me. It doesn't show that now I have to learn how to eat with my left hand or that I can't play basketball anymore. That doesn't, it's not represented in the slave market.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Well.
I mean, it seems like a terrible metric.
So you have a suggestion?
There's always a value.
That's a very good question.
Very difficult.
So a few thoughts. Remember that's what I was saying before. We are trying to translate the untranslatable. And then we're trying to convert into dollars and cents, to put a number on sort of a lifetime of human experience, which is obviously a challenging thing to do. But it also is a part of that, so it's a part that's going to be captured through it's the sentimental value of holding your baby is obviously very different than carrying merchandise, right? Or carrying grain in the field. But the loss of functionality is the same. Moreover, while Nezek is not sentimental, some of the others are. And Ripu and Shevis also are just dollars and cents. But Tsar and Boshes are sentimental. Not the same type of sentimentality, but they are sentimental. They literally have to do with sentiment. Because how much it hurts? And how much it hurts physically and how much it hurts psychologically.
It's a
grumble. No one's been waiting very patiently, and then let's get back to some of this.
So going back to the Mishnah at the beginning of Akoda, the way we read that Rashi was everything else seems to be quantifiable damage. Every other thing we've learned about Nezek has been, I ate your fruit, your fruits are gone. It's clear how much those are worth. So we thought Rashi was trying to explain, well, what is the actual damage when I'm causing damage? If I break your arm and it's never going to be straight again, what have I actually done? There's no clear loss. So because at any point you could have sold yourself on the market, that's the real loss you incurred monetarily.
Very good. So I think you're right. I was going to hold off on this, but once you're pressing the point, I think you're right that what Rashi is capturing. Okay. Let's try to pull it together for two more minutes. I guess spring weather has already hit for Hashem.
It's so cold.
Technically, March 21st is
global.
We have time. Let's try this again. You are touching an important point. Rashi in Hakovel definitely is trying to think about how Nezek is an actual financial loss that I'm incurring. Not merely a way, like we were talking about, trying to put a dollar amount on the loss of experience and loss of functionality. Rashi, in saying that Kamal Shavulim Kudi Machar Bashot Ke'evet Ivri, is looking for a way in which Nezek is actual loss of funds. My bank account took a hit. Why? Because I could have sold myself as an Ke'evet Ivri for X, and now I can only sell myself as an Ke'evet Ivri for Y. So for now, let's just put that in counterpoint to a Rambam in Perek Hey Halacha Vav Hilchos Chov L'Mazik. But the Rambam says that Tashlumei Nezek by Chovel are Knas. Rambam, Perek Hey Halacha Vav. He says Nezek by Chovel is Knas. Knas. So the Magen Mishnah gets very involved, Rias for the sources for the Rambam. Gemara seem to be against the Rambam. The number of Gemaras that seem to indicate that Nezek is Mamon. These one or two Gemaras maybe indicate that it is a Knas, or could be read as meaning that it's a Knas. He says, we think those Gemaras mean that, especially the Tusayu. It could be the Rambam thinks that Machlokes have Sugyas, and he's passing in one way, perhaps. And we'll see as we continue, which tomorrow, the next couple of lines of the Gemara, we'll see how this idea of the Rambam may play out in different ways. But suffice it to say for now, that the Birkas Avraham, in the first round of his Shiurim, in the Kama, Birkas Avraham Kama, and Bava Kama, so he points out, what does this mean, that's a Knas? That he essentially says, your point. He says, because Nezek is not, it's not making, well, he looks at it somewhat differently, but the same reality, it's not restitution in the sense that you can't make up for it with money. If I have an item, and my item was broken, so if you give me cash, I can repair it, I can buy a new one, something of that sort. Sheves and Ripui, certainly, there's dollars that I had to spend, and you're reimbursing me. So maybe reimbursement. It's typically, mamon is reimbursement. But for Nezek, it's hard to say that Nezek is reimbursement. Because, you did terrible damage to me. You deserve to be punished for having injured me, having damaged me. But it's hard to say that it's reimbursement. Because what the money is not going to buy me a hand. The money is not going to buy me simias ein chavera, chmal tzlam. The money is not going to buy me vision. It may allow me to pay for things that I'll need to compensate for not having vision. The money is not going to buy my vision back. Now, Rashi seems to be avoiding this point. But by saying that Nezek is kavu shavu l'machu b'shok ke'evet ivri, it really is reimbursement. I could have raised $1 million by selling myself as an Eved Ivri. Now I can only raise $700,000. So you caused me an implied loss of $300,000. So you have to pay me the $300,000. So for Rashi, it really is reimbursement. Whereas the typical way of understanding Nezek, that's kind of like Shabbat and Machem B'Shok Eved Kenani, I'm not Eved Kenani, those aren't funds I actually have access to. It's a way of putting a dollar, I'm trying to assign some dollar number to the damage that was, to the injury that was caused. But it's not reimbursement, which might be why the Rambam holds that it's really more of a knas than mamon. Much more to say about this. Mishnah tomorrow will pick up with the Gemara asking a question. Not really, that question itself, there are questions one can answer about the Gemara's question.